You can tell a real Christian from someone who's just giving you lip service. Jesus says you'll know them by their fruits. Are they peaceful? Are they joyful? Are they loving? Are they compassionate? Are they kind? Are they patient?
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Walking in Faith and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Okay, so walking in faith, Hebrews 11:1. Everybody's got their Bible turned to that, I'm assuming now. It's in New Testament. And let's please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Walking in faith. You know, this is really important to me because I'm going to tell you something. I know a lot of folks who are Christians, but I don't see them walking in faith. I see them living a defeated life, and I don't want that in my congregation. I want every one of us to be blessed, all of us to be blessed. I want us to have joy, okay, when the circumstances doesn't call for that. I want us to have joy when the storms are raging all around us and that the storms can't get in through into us. Did you know that you can go through something, but the thing that you're going through can't get through you if you got faith in Jesus Christ? Why is it that we see some Christians who seem to be rock solid in the storm? They're not shaken. But then you see other people who say that they're Christians, and they are Christians, but they're defeated. They're calling everybody up when a problem arises. They're afraid. They're fearful. They're bitter. They're angry. They're upset. They're scared. This not ought to be with Christians. It's because they're not standing in faith in what God has promised in His Word. Now listen, if you are a Christian, the Word actually means to be Christ-like, and God requires us to have faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Take this into context with somebody who you love and trust. If they don't return that love and trust back to you, let's just say the trust by itself, it hurts, doesn't it? It bothers you that somebody that you care for doesn't trust you. It's almost a slap in the face. It's almost a mark on your name, isn't it? And you say, what's the matter? Don't you trust me? And they say, no, I don't. And you do everything you can to earn that person's trust, yet they still don't trust you. And it's frustrating, isn't it? Imagine how much more it is for God, because listen, I'm a trustworthy person, but I make mistakes and I fail people, but yet I still want people to trust me because my intentions are good. But not only are God's intentions are good, but He is trustworthy every single time. God never fails. The problem is that we often fail God. We often fail God. We ask Him for something, and then instead of waiting for the answer or expecting the answer or trusting the answer, what we do is we go out and do it our way, in our timing, okay? And that's where we mess up. We step out. Abraham did the same thing. God promised him a child. And Abraham thought that if he took his handmaiden and had a baby with her, that would be the child God was talking about. But no, God was talking about a miracle through his wife Sarah. But he didn't wait. He didn't wait. So he had a baby out of wedlock with another woman, and lots of troubles happened in his home because of that. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So we got hope in faith, right? We're hoping that God is going to come through. We don't see it, right? But we're hoping for it. We're hoping for it. So if God has told you something, you can hope for it. And you don't have to see it just yet, but it's coming. It's coming. We hoped for a church. The Lord said, I will build you a church to my wife and I. We didn't see it, but we had faith that it was coming. And we started this place in a garage a year ago. God is good on his promises, but we have to be good in our faith. That's the only way we're going to please God. Now, if I didn't believe that God was going to bring us a church, I wouldn't have acted on it. I wouldn't have done anything. And we wouldn't be sitting here today if I didn't believe in God, right? So we have to have obedience, right? God said, I'm going to build you a church. Well, I had to get the pastoring, didn't I? Praise God, right? Don't want to disobey the Lord. Okay. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is asking in faith. Look at James 1:6, and you don't have to turn there. I got it up here for you. James 1:6, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. James is talking about when we ask something from God, we have to believe and not doubt. How many times has somebody come up to you and says, let me pray for you, and doubt fills your heart thinking, what's prayer going to do for me? Or you pray and you just think God's not hearing you. Do you know that if you're a Christian, God hears you every single time that you pray? Now, I said hear. I didn't say he answered it the way you wanted it answered every single time. But here's the thing. As Christians, we align ourselves up with the will of God. We don't ask God to line ourselves up or to line himself up with us. We don't do that, do we? Because he's God. We don't tell God what to do. He didn't need any help building the earth, did he? Or putting the sun in place or putting the moon around the earth, did he? Right? So who are we to tell him how to run our lives? Okay. So when we ask, we must believe. Note that word believe. You know, that's a hard word. That's a hard word. A lot of people say, well, I believe in God. I believe in God. But if you believe in God, you're going to study your Bible and listen to what he's got to say to you. If I believe somebody is going to help me do something I need to get done, I'm going to actually call them on the phone and seek them out to get their help. If I need a job and I know somebody that knows where all the jobs are, I'm going to call them up and get help from them, aren't I? Well, you know what? God, he knows everything. We should be calling him up first. Lord, I need a job. God, I know that you will supply all of my needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19 promises me that. Call him up. Believe. Believe. Many fail to receive from God simply because they do not ask. They don't ask. They don't ask. I take people job hunting all the time. We're talking about jobs here a while ago. Well, I take people job hunting a lot of times. Nobody asks me to pray with them first. In fact, I remember one time I took three different people job hunting, and one of them asked me to pray with them. And I said, sure. So I prayed with them. They found a job immediately at the first place that we went to. Now, that doesn't happen all the time. But then we went back to the other two people, and I said, let's pray. And they wouldn't pray. They didn't get a job. John 14:14 says, you may ask me for anything. Does that say some things? A few things. Just the little things. Oh, you may ask me for anything. Everybody say anything. Anything in my name, and I will do it. And what does that mean in my name? People miss that one. Well, I prayed for a brand new sports car, and I didn't see it in my driveway the next day. I prayed it, and I said, dear God, give me a sports car in my driveway in Jesus' name. This means in my authority. Listen, we come in the authority of Christ as Christians. Whatever God wills, we can ask for it, and he'll do it in his name, in his authority. Jesus does not have the authority to give us things that God does not will for us. Jesus does not have the authority to give us things that are not good for us. Why would he do that? Would you give your kids stones when they ask for bread? Right? You're not going to give something to your children that's not what they need, are you? You're going to give them good things, even when they don't like it. My son had to take medicine last week. He didn't like it. Tasted horrible, didn't it? But you feel better, don't you? Tell me about it, he says. Oh, it's horrible medicine. It's a liquid antibiotic. He didn't like it. He mumbled and grumbled and whined, said I didn't love him. He did. You mustn't love me to give me this stuff. But you know, sometimes God gives us things that we don't like, that don't taste good, but they're good for us. And sometimes we take things on our own that aren't good for us. And God lets us have those things that aren't good for us because we demanded them. And then we're left with a bad taste in our mouth because of what we did. Amen? But listen what Jesus is saying in the book of John. You may ask for anything. But what do we ask for in our prayers? Do we ask for the things that are not selfish? Or do we ask for the things that we want, the things that we like? Do we pray for our enemies? Do we ask God to bless our enemies? Or do we ask God to remove our enemies and curse them? See what I mean? Because God loves your enemies. He doesn't love what they're doing to you. But he still loves the person, right? And we should pray for them. So if we ask anything in the authority of Christ's name, he's going to do it. That's a powerful promise to me. That's a powerful promise. Because if I need Bibles here at the church and I'm out and I don't have the money for them, I know God's going to bring me Bibles. I know he's going to do it. I know that if we need a place to worship and we outgrow this place and we become too packed in here, I know the Lord's going to give me another building so that we can all worship there. I know God's going to do that for all of us if I ask. If I ask. We are to ask in childlike faith. See, some of us adults, we don't get this. Children come up and they ask for big things, don't they? Mom, can I have a car? Are you crazy? And then when they're 16 years old, you end up getting them one. And they're driving a better car than you. Right? You're all grinning in there because you know what's going to happen, right? Some of you with little ones. Matthew 18:3, and he said, this is Jesus speaking, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Why does he say that? He's talking about the faith and the belief of a child. Children believe in Santa Claus if you tell them that, which I never told my son about Santa Claus. It's a lie. But Jesus is not a lie. Jesus is the real thing. Sorry if we have little ones in here. I don't preach Santa Claus. But listen to this. Like little children. Listen, children are going to believe what you tell them, right? You tell them a lie, they're going to believe a lie. But if you tell them the truth about Jesus, they're going to believe. But adults have a harder time. Adults have a harder time. And Jesus was talking to adults. Your attitude and faith has got to change to be like a little child. You've got to come to him asking him for big things in his kingdom. In his kingdom. Listen, the biggest blessing I got was serving God. And Christ says that those who serve the most are elevated the highest in the kingdom. So if you want to be elevated in the sight of God, you got to lower yourself to the role of servant. See, that concept is kind of hard for some people, right? You got to be a servant to be lifted up in the kingdom of God. Children are persistent, aren't they? Can I have? Please, please, please. And what do? Fine. Take it. With a child's persistence, we must keep on asking our Heavenly Father. Did you know that as you pray for things and you don't get them right away, you go back to pray for them, don't you? Well, you should. Some people just give up. But you know what? As I prayed for things that weren't coming, as I prayed for things that were slow in coming, the Lord started talking to me and I started listening. Because of the delay, I could hear him more clearly. I started thinking about what he was saying to me in prayer. Because, you know, God will speak to you in prayer. Sometimes you can feel an impression in your heart. Sometimes he'll send people to speak to you about something you've been praying for. Or a circumstance will happen and that circumstance will speak to you. Okay, there's numerous ways that God can speak to you. And sometimes we don't get exactly what we're praying for at the exact time that we want it. So we have to keep on asking and keep on asking and keep on asking and keep on asking. And while we're asking, we're learning some things, aren't we? Child asks for a car when he's 12 years old. You inform him that when he's 16, he can go out and get his driver's license and then he can work for a car. But I want it now. And then when he's 13, he asks for it again. Can I have a car now? No, I say when you're 16. And now you're learning, you're teaching him as he's getting to that point where he's ready for it. Right? You're schooling him until he's ready for the car. A lot of parents do prepare their children for the things that they're going to have when they're older. Well, this is what prayer does for us. As we pray and seek, and we're not given what we want immediately, the Lord actually is teaching us about the very thing that we're asking for. So listen to this, Matthew 7:8. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. When we're praying, do you know what the number one thing we should be praying for? God's will in our life. God's will. A lot of people are afraid of God's will. They don't know where he might take them. They don't know where they might end up. They don't know what God might do. That's called unbelief. That's called distrusting him. And it's true that when you ask for God's will, he can shake some things up in your life if you're so far off in his will that he has to put you back on course, right? Some of us are off course in here, aren't we? Don't raise your hands. But some of us are off course, aren't we? And we've been off course for a long time, haven't we? Did you know that you didn't get to where you were going overnight? So when you pray, God, save me and bring me back on course, we don't get right back on course in life as fast as we want to. In other words, if you've been doing something you shouldn't have been doing for a long time and you're suffering the consequences of that wrong thing, it's going to take you a while to get over that wrong thing. But the number one thing that God wants us to do is to ask, is to seek, and we will find, to knock on God's heart. Lord, here I am. Give me some guidance. Give me some guidance. Number two, believing in faith. This is the second thing we need to do. We need to believe in faith. Okay, Mark 11:24 says, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. If God tells you something and you don't believe it, you will not do the obedient things that are required in order for you to receive it. See, without belief, there's no obedience. Doctor gives you medicine and you don't believe that the medicine will help you, you won't take it, will you? He can sit there in that office and tell you, look at my degrees. Look, I've been to medical school. You go and you get the medicine, you go to the pharmacy, and the pharmacist tells you, this is the greatest medicine ever invented for what you got going on. And you look at that pharmacist saying, oh, whatever, I ain't taking that. But you buy it. You take it home, you set it on the shelf, and you don't use it, and you stay sick. Because you didn't believe that the doctor was going to help you. You didn't believe that the pharmacist knew what he was talking about. You didn't believe in the medicine, so therefore you didn't obey. You didn't obey. Okay, so some have difficulty believing. They trust in feelings instead of God's word. Here's another thing. I just don't feel that this is right. Why would God have me do this? Why would the Lord let this happen? This don't feel right. I don't have to forgive my neighbor. It just don't feel like the right thing I should do. Some have difficulty believing. They trust in feelings instead of God's word. Everyone is tempted to doubt at times, but we must keep on believing in spite of doubts. We defeat Satan by standing on God's word. We all have doubts, but we have to stand on God's word. We have to know that when we have a need, that Philippians 4:19 says that my God will supply all of those needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. There's a condition. It has to be in the will of God. But we know that if something is in the will of God, we know that no matter what our bank account says, we know that no matter what our wallet has in it, we know no matter how poor we are, God is going to bring the need to us if we stand on his word. Christ's only work is to believe. Listen to this. John 6:29, Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Did you know that you guys got a job to do? We don't work for salvation, right? We believe for salvation. And Jesus says that the only work you got to do for God is believe. But no, listen to this. This is a job we're required to do. And if this is the only thing you do, that's the only thing you need to do. You don't have to be smart to get something out of God. You don't have to be clever. You don't have to pull tricks. You just have to believe. Now listen, once you start believing, you're going to start trusting. Once you start trusting, you're going to start obeying. Once you start obeying, you're going to start walking in faith. And once you start walking in faith, is what we're talking about, you're going to start receiving in faith by grace. Because of your belief, you've impressed God. It's not the things that you have to offer God. It's yourself that you have to give that God wants. He wants to be with you. He wants you to trust him. He wants to love you so much. But the only way you can receive that love is through belief. It's not what you do. It's not what you know. It's who you believe in. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you know what? You can tithe all you want to. But if you don't believe that God is going to take your tithing and grow the kingdom of God through this church with your tithing, if you don't believe that God is going to bless you for your obedience in tithing, if you don't believe that we're doing good things with the money, guess what? You're not going to receive anything back from that. You're just not, because you didn't please God. God loves a cheerful giver. So some people say, you know what? I give an extra amount of money to the church because I'm a good person. Man, that doesn't impress God. There's no one good but God. The scripture says that. That doesn't impress God. That doesn't impress God. But now if you said, you know, I gave to the church because I want to see the church flourish for the sake of the kingdom of God. Confessing our faith. Confessing our faith. How many of you have friends that don't know you're Christians? Don't raise your hand. Listen to this. Romans 10:10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Pastor, why don't you ever shut up about Jesus? Man, we're not even in church, and you won't shut up about Jesus, because I am confessing who I love. My mouth confesses who I love. If you have anybody in your life that doesn't know you're a Christian, shame on you. Because people will go out and buy a new car and call every friend up and show them, well, look what I got. People will go out and buy a new home stereo system or a big screen TV and invite people over for the game and say, look what I got. But they get saved from the flames of hell. And they don't even tell a friend at work about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. They don't say, look who I am in Jesus. They don't say, look who I have now. We should be shouting it from the rooftop. If you are really in belief that Jesus has saved you from hell, that when you die, you're not going to go down into the flames, into the pit, into the grave and suffer all eternity. If you really believe you're not going to do that, why aren't you hallelujahing? We should be jumping out of the pews and saying, thank you, God, I'm not going to hell. And then we should turn that around and say, you know what, Lord? Now I have pity for those who are going to hell. Because there's people that sit in church week after week with a Bible in front of them, perhaps even in their hands, and they're going to go to hell because they don't believe, even though they're sitting there. They don't believe. I can sit at the garage all day long and watch the mechanic work on my car. It does not make me a mechanic. I can hold the instruction manual on how to fix the car myself in my hand and read the manual and still not be a mechanic. I could do these things. I could even walk around and talk about alternators and changing the oil and spark plugs and ignition switches and fool some people.
Yeah.
Just don't let me under your hood. Man, but you got Christians like that. Oh, praise the Lord. It's true, don't you? Let me pray over you. And their life is more messed up than what you got going on. And they're praying for you. And they're calling themselves a Christian because they read a few scriptures. And when you get to know these people, it's always the same scriptures over and over. It's the only thing they memorized. They don't know Jesus. They never met him. They never had an encounter with the living God. They just know about him. You can know about something and not know it. I could tell you all about my wife, Terry, but until you meet her, you won't find out what a wonderful woman she is. You'll have to take my word for it. But you got to know for yourself, right? Amen. So you have to believe in your heart, not up here. It's not about knowledge. It's what's in here. And God knows what's going on. Look, come on now. You've been around people that love you when you got something they need. I love you. What do you want? That's lip service. They love you with their mind because they're manipulating you. They want something out of you. They need something out of you. But if they love you with their heart, they don't even have to tell you they love you, and you just know it. They don't say a word, and you know it. Bobby loves me. How do you know? I just feel it. I just feel it. I never hear him say he loves me. Some people are ashamed to be called Christians. They are fearful of scorn and persecution and therefore never come to Christ. Somebody told me, don't preach Jesus to my child. They'll call her Jesus freak. I'm not a freak. I'm a Christian. I bear the name of Christ, the Messiah. You know Christ means Messiah? We're his ambassadors. I'm not ashamed to be called a Christian. I am not ashamed of being called a Christian. I'm not proud either, because proud would puff me up, right? Pride would puff me up. I am pleased to be a Christian. I am pleased and I am humbled to be a Christian. That God took me in the worst of my state and raised me up into his glory through Christ Jesus. Praise all be to God, because you know what? I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But you know what? Some people are ashamed to be called Christians. They'll come to church, but they won't tell nobody they're here. They got a Bible at home, but it's hidden away somewhere, so when their other friends come over, they don't see it. They'll talk about God when they're at church, but they won't mention him at work. They won't mention him at home. They're afraid. They don't want to be persecuted at work. We must be courageous about confessing our faith in Jesus Christ. If we are ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us also. Listen to this. Mark 8:38, this is Jesus speaking. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. There's going to be a day, and Christ is going to appear to every eye. And when that day happens, he is going to pick those who want to be with him. Because you know how it goes. You go to a party, right? You don't go around the people that hate you at the party, do you? You walk up and say, hey, Sharon, come on. I know you're my sister-in-law and you love me. Come join me up here, right? But then you look at the people that didn't care about you, that were ashamed to even mention your name or be around you. And you just stay away from them, don't you? You don't invite them in, do you? Right? There's a party that's going to take place. Now listen, the earth, the whole world is God's. He's coming back to reclaim it. And you know what? The people who didn't want to take part in the offering of Christ as a sacrifice for sin, they're going to be thrown out. I don't want people in my house that cause me trouble, who don't want to be there. I don't want them. I do want to make peace with my enemies. I do want to get along with my enemies, and I do invite my enemies to make peace with me. But if they don't want to be with me, I don't drag them in. So there's going to be a day when the holy angels start declaring that Christ has returned and that he is king and that his kingdom has come. And those who rejected him will be rejected. Those who didn't believe, they're going to believe, and there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's coming. Look outside. Look at the news. Time is short. When God comes back, he's going to come back with his angels. And anyone who is ashamed of him, he's going to turn his back on them because of unbelief. Salvation depends upon the confession of our faith. We must be willing to share Christ with others. If you got something good, tell people about it. Tell people about it. You get a new hairdo, you go out and let people see you. You want to show people what you got going on, right? If you're not ashamed of it. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Everyone. That means no matter what your color, no matter what your nationality, no matter what your gender, there's only one condition. What is it? Belief. Belief. You can tell a real Christian from someone who's just giving you lip service. Jesus says you'll know them by their fruits. Are they peaceful? Are they joyful? Are they loving? Are they compassionate? Are they kind? Are they patient? Do they have those fruits? That doesn't mean that every Christian has to have all of those fruits, but it means that God is working on those things. But when you look at somebody and they're not even developing the fruit, you know something's wrong with their walk in faith. Doing in faith, and I'm almost done here. Listen to this. So now you got faith, right? Now you do things that show it. James said, 2:26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Listen, we don't do good deeds for salvation. We do good deeds because of salvation. The result of salvation is good deeds. People say, well, when I clean up my life, I'll come to church and I'll come to Jesus. That ain't never going to happen without Jesus. You ain't never going to be doing anything good until you get Jesus. But once you get Jesus and you get salvation, you're going to be overfilled with joy. You're going to want to do good things. When you love somebody, you do good things for them, don't you? You love your spouse, you do good things for your spouse. You surprise them. You go out of your way for them. They don't even have to ask you. Well, they shouldn't have to ask you. When you love Jesus, you go out of your way to serve him, to become his servant. Not a doormat. Jesus doesn't make us doormats. We do it because we love him. And you know what? Here's the great thing. When God asks you to do something, not only are you going to bless somebody else, but you're going to fill yourself, he's going to fill you with such joy. You're going to be so filled with joy that your reward is going to come spiritually before it becomes materialistically. You're going to get to the point, if you serve God, I promise you this, you serve God, you're going to get to the point where you say, Lord, I don't need anything but you. Just show me where to go next. You're going to be so eager to wake up in the morning to figure out just to see where God's going to lead you. He will lead you to interesting people, events, circumstances. You'll have a lot of fun serving God. Trust me, you will. Doing is the plus of faith. It's the plus. It's not the hard stuff, right? Many falter in the Christian life because they fail to act upon or work their faith. Well, I love Jesus and I come to church and I clap my hands during worship. Isn't that enough? We must let the Holy Spirit work through us. We are his channel, the instrument through which he works. You know, this is the most beautiful thing about God. He doesn't need your help, but he wants it. But you should be walking around saying, I come in the authority of Jesus, because we have to do good things. We have to come in the authority of Jesus Christ. Don't let the world beat you down, because Jesus overcame the world. We have the authority of Christ. We should be walking around saying, you know what? I came in the authority of Jesus. I'm taking authority in the name of Jesus over this situation. We're going to pray and the Lord's going to make it right. John 15:5, I am the vine. You are the branches. Now you can cut a branch off, right? But the plant won't die. You cut the root off, the plant dies. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. There's that fruit again. There's that fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't do nothing for God without God. You can't do it. It's not going to happen. People say, why is my life such a mess? Because you've been doing it by yourself. You've been doing it without the help of God. You've been acting like you are the vine and he's the branch. You've been acting like everything I want, I just want to reach out and have God do it for me. When God wants us to do it with him, to serve with him, to love him, and to believe in him. So in conclusion, I want to say, if we want, we must ask. Don't be so proud. Don't call up your friends first. Something hits your life like a ton of bricks. God's not surprised. He knows. He knows your suffering. He knows your hurts. He knows your worries. He's already been there. He's already been where you are at before you were ever made, before you were ever created. Jesus already knew you were going to be where you are. He already knew it. He's not surprised. And if he knows it, it means he cares. So ask. Ask and you will receive. Come to him and say, Lord, I know you love me. And I know I haven't been a perfect steward of the life that you have given me, God. That's called confession. And then you say, Lord, I don't want to do that life anymore. That's called repentance. And then you say, Lord, I want you to take control. That's called belief and trust. That's called surrender. It's called salvation. You take over. I trust you to be my Lord and Savior. God, I've been to church. I've watched it on TV. I've heard it on the radio. I even got a Bible at home I never open. And when I do, I don't even like reading it. But what I really need is I need you, Jesus. I need you to be my friend today. Because all my friends left me, God. They said they were my friends. They said they were my family. They said they would never leave nor forsake me. And now they're not even picking up their telephone, God. Please help me, God. That's what he wants to hear. Help me, God. Because I can't help myself. I thought I could help myself. I wanted to help myself. I was so full of pride, God. But now I'm asking you because I believe that you care about me. I believe that you want to help me. And I know, God, that I'm my worst enemy. You ain't my enemy. You didn't do this to me. God, I did this to me. I wanted to blame my wife. I wanted to blame my sister. I wanted to blame my husband. I wanted to blame my friends or the family I grew up with. But God, it was me that made the choices. I made those choices and I knew better. That's how we really come to God and start talking to him. We start talking about ourselves and start talking about how good he is. We start confessing about ourselves. If you don't know there's a problem, you won't confess there's a problem in your life. And if you don't confess that there's a problem in your life, you won't deal with that problem. But guess what? The spiritual problems in your life can only be dealt with by one person, Jesus Christ. And you have to get to asking him. Because I want to see everybody in here blessed. I want to see everybody go through the storms of life and not the storms of life go through them. I want to see everybody stand upon the rock of Jesus. I want everybody in here to know that they don't need anyone or anything but Jesus. We have some people in here that are codependent on some others. Codependency on one another. Don't you know that people will fail you? Don't you know that if you put your faith in flesh, that flesh will fail you? Flesh dies. Flesh rebels. Your friends one day and your enemies the next. People will let you down, but Jesus won't. But you got to ask and you got to believe. If we truly believe when we ask, then we will be asking for his will and we shall receive in faith. Ask for his will today. Say, God, that's it. I'm done. I don't want to live this life anymore. I want to know about this joy-filled life that everybody's telling me about. I know that my problems aren't going to go away, God, but I know that I'll have you in my problem. And when if I got you for me, what can man do to me? That's what the Bible says. If God be for you, what can man do to you? Amen. Our faith is dependent on Christ alone. Hebrews 12:2 says the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the author. He is the perfecter. You leave it into Jesus' hands, he'll take care of you.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.